Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Now, on Thursday evening, I had a lovely thing happen. I received an honorary fellowship from Engineers Ireland. It was a lovely evening and it was such a nice honour to receive. And I'm delighted to say the man who bestowed it upon me, Ed Harty, is with me now, who is the president of Engineers Ireland. Ed, you're very welcome to the show. How are you?
Great, Jess.
I'm delighted to have you in studio because every time I see you on LinkedIn, you're in a different part of the country, a different part of the world. You never stop. And we're going to talk a little bit about the work that you've done as president of the organisation. But can we just start by explaining to those who don't know, what is Engineers Ireland and what's the function of it?
Yeah, so Engineers Ireland is the professional membership body for engineering, also all types of engineering here in Ireland. It's got about 28,000 members. It does mainly three different things. So it's all about education, I suppose regulation of the profession, and also about advocating for the profession and what types of things need to be done. So on the education piece, it accredits almost, would you believe there's 200 engineering courses that are accredited by Engineers Ireland, and that those accreditations are internationally recognised. Another part of what we do is CPD, so continuing professional development, so keeping people, let's say, at the cutting edge, and things like that. Obviously, networking and all that as well.
Yeah, it's. I have to be honest, when I looked into it a little bit more, I was blown away by the scale of the organisation, but also the different types of engineers. People might have this preconceived notion of an engineer being one thing.
That's right.
But the beauty of Ireland is that we have such a broad spectrum of industries here and engineers pop up along the way.
You know, in everything. So like, you know, obviously, you know, technology is your mm-hmm. thing. You think of all the technology that's developed. You think of, you know, all the infrastructure that's there, be that whether it's hospitals or roads, or if we think of, you know, a few weeks ago, I was over, let's say, in Medtronic, and you think about all the medical devices that are actually produced and that affect, you know, millions of people's lives all around the world. Mm. And all this work is being done by, you know, engineers, by Irish engineers. And it's unbelievable the stuff that's going on.
Yeah. I think one thing that always strikes me, and we'll talk about what happened on Thursday night in a little bit, but when you bring people together at events, like-minded people, the conversations that you overhear.
That's right.
And even if someone is, you know, a genetic engineer,
yeah.
and then you've got someone who works in, you know, construction engineering, they're still coming together, sharing their experiences, problem solving together.
That's right, yeah.
And it is that bond that's quite unique.
Yeah, yeah. Like at the core of engineering, it's all about problem solving and coming up with solutions. And look, you know, it can be applied to any area. It's just a way of thinking, and it's about enjoying what you do. There are the two things. But and it's great then when you see how problems are solved in other industries.
Mm.
And I've always, you know, said that it's about, you know, you can see how a problem is solved in another industry. And maybe you can apply that to your industry. And I've often, and I'm sure on our previous interviews, we would have said, I'd say it was like baking a cake.
Yes.
You want new ingredients and you want to add them into the mix to make it nicer and to make it better.
Mm.
And that applies all throughout engineering. You know?
And obviously we can't talk in any interview on this programme without mentioning AI at the moment, because there's so much talk about it. Earlier in the week, I was at the Construction Industry Federation Health and Safety Summit. Mm. And there was an awful lot of talk about the new ways of working in that sector.
Yeah.
So a lot of construction now is happening off-site to try and, you know, be more efficient, all that stuff.
Construction, because if you think of, you know, what are the big challenges of the world? And then the question is, who's actually going to solve them? It's going to have to be engineers that solve them. So if we think about, you know, the things closer to home, the things like housing and so on, modern methods of construction is very, very important. How do we produce more houses more easily, you know, taking into account those challenges of labour and all those types of things. So, and AI, the way I describe AI, it's a new tool in the toolbox.
Yeah.
It's going to make us an awful lot more efficient. You know, yes, you know, there's issues of regulation and there's things to be dealt with. But in the same way, you know, when robots came out at the start, people were afraid, you know, what's going to happen with a robot in a factory?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to take all our jobs? Could it turn around and attack us someday? You know, and then obviously, you know, CE marking and safety regulations and all those things came in. And now things like robots are, you know, they're commonplace in industry. And I think we're at the same type of a juncture in terms of AI. AI. It's going to be a new tool in the toolbox. We have to embrace it. We have to use it. And we're going to apply it to everything.
Yeah, and I think that the reason, particularly in the context of last night, that I was struck when I was looking at the list of people who were receiving their titles, I was looking at the experience they all had because a little bio was read out. But the technology that they're utilising in their day-to-day roles must have gone through the roof in the last 30 years.
Yeah, unbelievably so. You know, there's no comparison between then and now.
Mm.
And even the pace at which things have picked up, you can look at, image analysis, you look at autonomous vehicles, you look at all the assistive driving, all those types of things. And even, you know, where it's going, just in terms of, productivity that we've seen. And obviously then where you'll see other types of things going is on the, simultaneous translation. So, so if you think of what did the internet do for us in the last 20 years, it brought us access to information. But imagine now that information can be readily translated into, 20 other languages and stuff like that in real time.
Mm.
They'll be the tools of the future, and you look back and you say, well, the telephone isn't that, the telephone isn't actually that old in
yeah.
the whole thing, like,
yeah.
not to mind the mobile phone. And yet this is where technology is going.
Yeah, no, it's so exciting. And one thing you mentioned at the top in terms of the functions of Engineers Ireland was advocating.
Yeah.
Where does the advocacy come in, and what are the issues?
Well, a big part of it is so one of the things we do each and every year is we produce a barometer report, and it's basically testing the temperature and saying what are the key issues around the different areas. So in Ireland, as we speak at the moment, there's a need for about 8,000. There's 8,000 unfilled engineering jobs.
Mm.
So it's about how do we inspire the next generation into it. And let's say, if you look at parts of Asia, you look at areas like, say, gender balance, it's 50-50 in those countries. It's different here in Ireland. Now, that has changed an awful lot in recent years. So it's issues around that. It's how do you inspire the next generation into engineering to show them that it's not all about maybe building roads and things like that. It's about actually really developing the technology that's out there at the cutting edge. And that it's a very interesting career choice.
Yeah, I think programs like the BT Young Scientists and Technology Exhibition does great work in showcasing that. And every January when I go down and walk around the RDS, you see kids who are 11, 12, 13, 14, whatever age, they've seen a problem and they've gone out, investigated why it exists, and then built a solution. And that always makes my heart happy.
Oh, there's a great buzz in seeing that, And when you see, the youngsters out there, either at the Young Scientists or, say, this year gone, Engineers Ireland was at the ploughing for the first time. And the amount of kids coming in, we had a robot there. They had to answer a few questions about engineering, and the robot gave them a free ice cream.
Oh, cool.
But they all, literally, it was all cool,
Yeah.
But they really loved it, and they learned an awful lot about engineering.
Mm.
So they could see it being applied to things like everything from, our energy, which is a huge thing, to they could see parts that go into the body.
Yeah.
It's that broad an area. And it's about showing people the way. And to me, if you show people a pathway,
yeah,
they might go down it,
Yeah.
So it's because, look, the youngsters of the future, they are going to be the future people that
do it and make it happen.
They do it and probably look after us when we're older,
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, yeah, literally.
But I do wonder, if there's still a bit of a PR job to be done around STEM and STEAM.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's a perception that you have to be the dorkiest kid in class.
That's right. Yeah, no, not at all. Or there's this perception that, you have to be a maths geek.
Yeah.
You have to be into that. No, not at all. Anybody can really do it if you like.
Mm.
If you like solving problems and kind of working stuff out.
And if you're passionate, right?
If you're passionate about it, that's the main thing, But if I just take my own career, when I studied engineer, I never thought the things that would have happened along my life, would have happened, And I remember being in the Young Scientist back in, believe it or not, 1990,
Wow.
And, you mentioned that and you say, that was a huge thing in my life. And in fact, it was probably just 2 years ago, Tony Scott, the co-founder. So he was awarded an honorary fellowship. So
yeah.
That was a lovely thing,
And, yeah.
My time came up and then I said, well, who do I see making moves in the world of technology and it's making a huge difference. And that's obviously why I had you there on Thursday evening, you know.
No, thank you. It was such an honour to receive, because I was talking about this on the floor here in News Talk. My degree is in Irish and geography. Like, I did a BA,
yeah.
And I had a grand time in college,
yeah.
But it took me a long time to find my path.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell into tech reviews because George Hook one day asked me to talk about video games.
Very good.
But the thing that keeps driving me, and the thing that I'm not the smartest person, but I'm passionate.
Absolutely.
And I'm curious.
That's right.
And I think to get the acknowledgement from a body like Engineers Ireland is actually a bit humbling, because you think, geez, I had imposter syndrome on Thursday night walking around going, geez, all these people have done a lot of work now and I'm just floating. But it's an important organisation to get acknowledgement from,
yeah.
Because I think there's an awful lot of, I suppose, noise in the world.
Yeah, that's right.
And to be able to differentiate between bodies such as Engineers Ireland and the rest is an important thing for me anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's like it's, you know, it's a very well-respected organisation. You know, it's a long heritage. What it does is very, very, very important.
Mm.
You know? So it's nice. It's nice when we can do things like that, you know. And for me, you know, it's been an honour, you know, being president of it for this year, you know. And, you know, you're vice president for 2 years, you're president for a year, you're past president then for a year. And one of the nice things then as president that you're allowed to do is to look around and to say, you know, who have you seen that has done great things? And we can do, let's say, presidential invitations to fellow or to honorary fellow.
You know?
So obviously, in your case, I said, you've done huge things over the years, you know, in terms of technology, and that's all engineering. And I was delighted to nominate you.
No, thank you. It did. My parents are very proud. Thank you very much. In terms of the other people who are on the list, across the board as honorary fellows, and indeed those getting other professional titles, it is worth celebrating and acknowledging their commitment
Absolutely.
To their careers and their industry.
Absolutely. Because to me, you know, you have to celebrate the good times. You have to catch people doing good, is what I say.
Mm-hmm.
There's no point, you know, it's celebrate those things.
And mm-hmm.
It's great, you know. And, you know, to give the listeners maybe a sense of the types of people that were out there and that would have received fellowships there. You know, so there was one guy, Dermot Fleming. He broadcasts all around the world with Al Jazeera. There's Joe English. He's the factory manager for Intel and leads all the operations here in Ireland and is a key person internationally. There was another, you know, probably one of the best engineers I've worked with was a guy, John Fleming. And
mm-hmm.
He's very, very low-key. And he's a former colleague of mine, but the stuff that he's done is unbelievable altogether. There was another guy, Dominic Forbes, and he heads the Great Britain region of Engineers Ireland. But one of the jobs he does in what his day job is looking after all the Houses of Parliament in the UK, Big Ben, and all that portfolio of estates and stuff like that. And that's another side of engineering again, you know?
Yeah, I loved talking to everybody on Thursday night, because you got to see, as you said there, the broad spectrum of engineers, but also the people who've been doing this for 30 years or longer, they're not fatigued by it. They just constantly see
new... They have a passion for it.
They have a passion.
Point, you know?
Yeah.
That's the key point, you know?
And you alluded to it there, but your time as president is coming to an end.
That's right, yeah.
So what's next on the agenda for you?
Yeah, so look, I've had a very busy year of it. Look, I'm helping a few companies in the background. I'm doing a few things,
mm-hmm.
and that's keeping me plenty busy, is how I'll describe it to you. And so I've done that. I've done a number of investments in different startups, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I tend to keep them low profile because
yeah.
Look, it's not about me anymore. It's about them, you know.
Mm.
And if you can, you know, put a bit of fuel in the tank for them, if you can kind of help them in terms of what direction to go, and hopefully that they'll get there that bit quicker.
Mm.
And you know, so that's mostly what I've decided to focus on.
And are you enjoying this time of your career where you're getting to sit back and see the bigger picture? Because I know for such a long time you were, you know, shoulder to the wheel.
Yeah, look, the way I describe it is, being in business, operating a company, building it, being the CEO, doing all the things, all the development, geez, patents, everything. Like, it's like playing on the football pitch.
Yeah.
And you're going like crazy. You're running up and down that pitch trying to score goals, kick the ball in the net.
Mm.
You know, you're out there in the marketplace. You have competitors there trying to, you know, to work as well, you know. And it's great to actually have the bit of time, have the bit of space that, you know, you do that, you enjoy it while you're doing it. But, you know, when you're there and when you can, you can work on the sidelines, there's a lot of enjoyment in that as well.
Yeah. Well, look, congratulations on all you've achieved and you continue to achieve. Thank you again for my honorary fellowship. And no doubt I'll see you very soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Jess.